Welcome to Holden Village and the Holden Theological Conference, sponsored by the Lutheran Education Network and Support. Today is Tuesday, September the 26th. In the Koinonia Fireside Room this morning, we're going to be listening to Yo Pastor, What's Up? By Brenda Joy Engleby. Let's listen in.
Brenda received formal education at the University of Minnesota at California Bible School. She was certified as an associate in ministry and commissioned in 1981, although they weren't called associates in ministry then, but you were grandparented in. And currently is serving as assistant to the bishop in the Alaska Synod, with Bishop Don Parsons. Brenda is married to Ron. She has four children, four grandchildren. She's a published writer. Some of you may have seen some of her work. I see most of it on Luther Link, where Brenda is affectionately known as Alaska Rose. That is her Luther Link handle. I am pleased to call her a colleague and friend. Brenda Engleby.
Thank you. We're here this afternoon this morning in this short period of time to discuss communication. I have a plan of action. That plan is that we will begin with what I have prepared to present to you. I will also show you some of the materials that I have brought with me as written communication. And then I had hoped for a period of time of discussion or communication with each other. I was under the impression that I had an hour and a half, and I have an hour. So the discussion might have to come later in the day if you would like that. I have prepared copies of this lecture, so you don't need to take notes. You might want to jot down on these discussion sheets any kind of question or comments that you might want to make. In recent years, the verb communicate has developed the meaning to express oneself effectively. A portion of scripture. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Psalm 23:5a. In the presence of my enemies. Now listen to this piece of communication. And all the while on the rim of the meadow, hungry and salivating carnivores looked on from a distance. Let them look. They shan't get anything more than a sniff. Let them look. Let them wish they were sheep of the shepherd rather than dogs of the desert. Let them look and let them weep. Let tears join saliva. Let them look. Communication. Can you see it? Can you see yourself sitting in the meadow, lush green, this table that has been prepared for you? And on the rim are the wolves who can't come in. You are protected. Let them look. This feast is for you. If we were to begin this time together with a study of the first chapter of Genesis, we would see that God is communicating. We could argue that our written text, that part of Genesis, which is in quotes, is God's thoughts, nothing spoken out loud. We could argue that God is talking to himself. Let there be light. We could argue that the translators of Genesis have taken liberty with quotation marks. Indeed, we could argue the theory of creation, making this early communication a moot point. But we're not here to argue that theory. We're here to discuss communication. According to Webster's New Riverside University Dictionary, communication is the exchange of ideas, messages, or information as by speech, signals, or writing. As God created, he communicated. When he created man, he talked. The man talked, the woman talked, and even the serpent talked or communicated. The need to communicate permeates everything we do, from the motions or signals or sounds of animals to the most precise of satellite dishes, we communicate. from yelling across the room to fingers racing across the keyboard, we communicate. From the first cry of a baby to the last sigh of life, we communicate. From ordination to now, we communicate. No matter what our life's calling is, we are in the now, and it's a good place to start. Now is a gift from God. Each now, each day, needs to be filled with communication with God. What is your first conscious thought each morning? Is it thank you, God, for this day? Or is it today I've just got to do this? Or today is the day that I'm going to, and your list comes out. If we are to give of the first fruits of our life, should that not include our first thoughts each day? Now is the time when we begin to communicate with our God. Now is when we listen, and now is when we hear. Many of us are called to serve as pastors or lay leaders. Most of us are in the business of caring for the spiritual well-being of some very special people, the people in our congregations or agencies. And also, sometimes, we are called upon to care for some people that we don't even know until we begin to care for them. Hospital emergencies, for instance. This work of ours, as is any work that God calls one to do, full of communication. Before we can communicate with others, we need to communicate with God. Before we can feed, we need to be fed. And I tend to picture this in a rather childlike or even childish way. A mama bird feeding her babies. The little ones keep their mouths open, for to close them means to miss a bite. My 7-month-old grandson opens his mouth when the spoon is coming. In fact, he keeps his mouth open as his mama stirs around in the food, anticipating what is to come. So it should be as we communicate with God, ever and always open to receive, always anticipating what joyful surprise, what insight, what word of hope or comfort or strength there may be for us. I can't tell you or teach you how to do what we commonly call daily devotions, but which I like to call primetime communication. I only know that for me, the need to be daily infused is powerful. I need to start my day with my Lord, and I need to be aware of His presence all day long. But I'm not always a self-disciplined person. I need structure in many areas of my life. For me, the structure and the discipline of a devotional book or guide is very helpful. Sometimes that devotional book is the Bible. Sometimes it's the Lutheran Book of Worship. Sometimes it's other books. Books by authors such as Walter Wangering, Ronald Allen, Friedrich Wisloff, Mother Basilia Schlink, and Father William O'Malley. I love the devotional books of the Lutheran Association of Missionaries and Pilots. Devotionals like Christ in Our Home, and particularly the Advent and Lenten devotionals that the members of my own congregation write. I need this feeding every day, and I need it early in the day. What I don't need is somebody to tell me, in the 24-hour day, I must give a tithe of my time at 6 a.m. in the morning, and if I don't do that, it is not devotion. That's what I don't need. But I do need to communicate. I need to talk to God, and I especially need to listen. For you choose the method. you determine your own feeding schedule. But whatever you choose, choose to begin the communications of the day with God, and then keep your communication with God, your prayer, just beneath the surface as you go about your day, lifting your heart to God. There's a prayer that holds special meaning for me, and it goes like this. God, my friend, I offer you this day. Let all my prayer, work, joy, suffering today join with the lives offered to you by the whole people of God, and especially with our great Eucharist, Jesus. Let your spirit be with me today, especially in this time in Holden Village. And I ask your loving concern today, especially for my friend Phyllis, who dies of cancer, and her husband Tom, who rages at God. Remind me through the day that I am not alone. Amen. Then, after receiving your feeding for the day, you are ready to feed. You are ready to communicate with the people that you serve in whatever area of work you are in. Verbal communication with your parishioners or clients can be a little tricky with some folks, risky with others, and downright baffling with still others. Yo, Pastor, what's up? Translates to, good morning, Pastor, how are you? My husband and I were out walking one evening recently, and a young man on a skateboard skimmed past us, stopped, asked, what time is it? My husband, looking at his watch, replied, it's 20 minutes to 8. What's that? The young man said. I said, it's 7:40. And with a grin, he rolled away. It's a digital world we live in. He had no idea what 20 minutes to 8 was. And then there is, whoa, fat, spelt P-H-A-T, which means that is a very nice looking person. Cool, as I heard several times this morning from one of my friends sitting back here, now means okay, as in, do you want chicken for supper? That's cool. It used to mean hip. And before that, it meant it was a little chilly. But now, chill out, as I recently heard in Chill Out Mom, means don't be so nervous. Along with yo, dissing is one of the newest words in the dictionary. Dissing. I asked my 13-year-old grandson what it meant. You know, Grandma, like ragging. Ragging? You know, like the teacher was dissing on him all day. Oh, I said, you mean the teacher was chewing him out? To which my grandson said, huh? We never leave Alaska, we go outside. As in, she'll be outside all winter. We have breakup in the spring and termination dust in the fall. Then we have bits, bytes, cyberspace, RAM, rum, well, maybe not rum, RAM, ROM, megahertz, and email. Maybe rum. I have to be careful, this is my pastor sitting here. Maybe rum. We have 14.4 baud, which should be 28. Snail mail, M-A-I-L, fax, fiche, and a frontal system being tracked by Doppler on the satellite screen at NASA and then being bounced off a dish in Texas. Right? If we are in Minnesota, We eat dinner at noon and have supper at night. If we are in Alaska, we have lunch at noon and dinner at night. However, if we mention lunch in Minnesota, we'll get something to eat at 10 a.m. and or whenever we happen to visit. As in, won't you have a little lunch, Pastor? I once had a little lunch at midnight. If you say supper in Alaska, you might encounter a blank stare. We have brunch, but never dinner. We park in a driveway and drive on a parkway. My mother used to declare that something was the cat's pajamas. And my grandson declares it's Major Rad. If something is really bad, it's good. We don't sweat, we perspire. And ladies aren't even supposed to do that. We are supposed to glow. Our bishop hopes to bag his limit this year, and the airlines tell us to limit our bags. We used to hippity hop to the barber shop, and now hip hop is either a language or a dance. And what, through all these years, what is bebop a lulu? I don't know. Verbal communication is an evolving story. How then do we communicate with our people? Grandma Jones and Grandson Jones speak the same language, or do they? Can you communicate with each of them on their own level? Should you? When my pastor comes to visit in the hospital, he sings hymns. Should he sing the same hymn to Grandma Jones as he sings to Grandson Jones? Are we locked in our own verbal time frame? Do we laugh at the words in the language of the past and scorn the words of the present? What are we communicating with our language? You just don't understand, is the lament of the young people. And the older generation says, you don't listen to me anymore. Are they right? How do we who are ordained, consecrated, commissioned, called, or chosen lay leaders tell the story of Jesus? How do we make sure that everyone from age ought to age 110 can hear the story? God's story never changes. For 2,000 plus years, the miracle of Christ has persisted. Does that mean that we who have the responsibility to deliver this message never change either? Must we say Bach or Beethoven, but never McKeever or Ilva Sacher? Can we communicate with an organ, but not with a rain stick? Should a restless child be allowed to roam the aisle in church or be carted off to the nursery? Can Grandma Jones sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and Grandson Jones sing Alleluia, Clap Your Hands in the same worship service? We need to live in the now of the people we serve. No young person expects an older person, and that's every one of us, to use the most current jargon or slang, and we shouldn't. It would embarrass them, and we'd sound pretty silly. We could, though, we could understand what Grandma means when she says with very firm lips, laughing in church is irreverent. We can understand where that is coming from. And we could understand when a young person talking about drugs says something like, you can get purple just about anywhere you want to. We can understand that. We who communicate the most precious words ever known need to know how to connect. It does me no good to write 1,000 words on Lutherlink, sign it Alaska Rose, and never plug in the phone line. Communication with the congregation, with your people, begins with connecting with their world. Go to a retirement home just to visit. Listen, don't go to preach. Don't go just in an emergency. Go to play checkers. Tune into their language. Go to the 10 a.m. Young Mothers Bible Circle and listen. Don't do the study. Just listen. The same for a young married couples group, or an adult singles group, or a youth group. Hear the language that they use. Hear their concerns. Hear what has grabbed their attention, and then you can grab theirs. We hear a lot about what will the world be like in 2001, but we need to be in the now. Whenever and wherever that may be. There's a wonderful story by Stephen L. McKinley in the September-October 1995 issue of Lutheran Partners. It's called Dorothy's World. Dorothy had only been in the retirement home for a few weeks. She was delighted to see her pastor, but she only had a few minutes to spend with him because she had to help her mother prepare the Christmas dinner. Only it wasn't Christmas, it was 10 days before Easter. This pastor had to make a choice. And he chose to communicate with her where she was at. They sang Christmas carols. He moved his bookmark from the story of the crucifixion and read Luke 2. And they discussed Christmas trees and Christmas cookies on a Friday afternoon in April. He had to quickly define what was reality at the moment. And reality at that time meant that he enter Dorothy's world. He communicated. This communication business for us is not an easy task. Besides listening and speaking, we have to look. We have to look at TV, videos, video arcades, and Super Mario something or other. We have to look at computer screens, movie screens, and virtual reality gizmos. Then we have to know who Cal Ripken is and what 2131 means. I know. We need to ponder about Colin Powell, Bob Dole, and Newt. In my world, I need to know what red, silver, and king mean and who has how many of what. Some of you will say the same thing and talk about it and say sockeye, coho, and chinook. We have to watch The Lion King, Pocahontas, The Color Purple, the O.J. Simpson trial, and the bridges of Madison County. We have to be acquainted with Winnie the Pooh and Tigger too. Pogs. You know what pogs are? Fly rods. Crochet needles. And a tall, skinny latte, no foam, shot of raspberry. We need to know about pickup sticks, joysticks, drumsticks, chopsticks, walking sticks, lipsticks, and stick shift. We look and we weep at the news of death in war. Deaths by a soul-sick mother. Deaths by a deranged bomber. Yet as we look, we learn what people are exposed to and how they are thinking, and then we can communicate with them. Who of us didn't try to offer a word of hope, a word of comfort, after the Oklahoma bombing. We were tuned in, and we could communicate in this time of senseless horror. Being in the now to communicate with people of all ages means being aware of where they are and meeting them there. Walt Wangering, in his wonderful written communication, tells us the grace-filled story of Ms. Lill, who met him right where he was and taught him the art of communication. Go to lunch with your council president. Talk about fishing, or golfing, or jogging. Go jog with him or her. Don't teach the adult class for a while. Let one of your lay leaders do that, and you visit each Sunday school class. Let the youngest child through the high school child see you without alb, sitting in one of their chairs, doing what they do. Stop at the bakery and bring the treats for the volunteers who are folding the newsletters. And then you fold, too. While you fold, you can have a wonderful conversation. A conversation with these many times unsung heroes of the church. Many times our older folks who have so much wisdom. Then you can slip back into your office, fire up your computer, dial up your modem, and share via cyberspace the incredible insights and the wisdom that you have gleaned from all of these people in your congregation or your agency or whatever group you are working with. Of all the communication means that I'm exposed to, that I know about, and that I have used, right now cyberspace is the one that excites me the most, using Ecunet and LutherLink. Communication in the 90s. This past week has brought me, and thus the Alaska Synod, the very latest news on the damage to our churches and the safety of our pastors from the hurricanes in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I brought some of that to share with you. I asked for and received a wealth of information from cyberspace communicators regarding monthly publications of other synods. We are trying to find more effective ways of communicating in the Alaska Synod, and so I posed the question, what publications do you use? I have now about 30 sheets of information that has come over cyberspace from the other synods across the ELCA. It has brought forth this week an answer to someone else's question, an abundance of information regarding stewardship. Right now, a number of us are walking with, via computer, a family in the midst of a very sudden and very devastating illness. We've listened to the pain, we've cried, we've been uplifted at encouraging news, and we have been the outlet for the rage and the anger that often comes with this kind of news. It's been said that there's no personality that comes through on the computer, and that's not true. We laugh. Let me show you how we laugh. We laugh. This is a colon and a whatever you call it. Parentheses. Sometimes we tell jokes, and or we're a little sarcastic, and then we grin. This is a grin. And sometimes we say we're sorry. There is a meeting, as we call them, on the network with all kinds of these things on it, so that we can get some personality and emotion into our written word. Recently, some of us had a little fun with a perfectly innocent typographical error. I mean, it was perfectly innocent. And we are taught in computer ethics that you pay no mind to typographical errors. And I mean, it's the message that counts, right? Well, somebody made the mistake of typing paradigm shirt instead of paradigm shift. So we got weeks of entertainment out of this. We ordered the shirts in different sizes with movable hems and changing colors, even wondering if we could get a pair for a dime. The poor soul, but we had fun with him. There's a wonderful meeting right now called Gospel Notes for the Next Sunday. And I, because so many of us in here do preach every Sunday, I did print out a whole week's worth of that and have brought it with me. It is for the Sunday just past because I am not tuned in. There is no phone line for me to hook up here, or I would have printed out what has come for this coming Sunday. But you could look at it to see what is available to you. Usually on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, the meeting for the next Sunday's gospel begins with kind of an expository talking and figuring out what this means, and usually a couple of screens full of information. And then throughout the week, people from all across the United States contribute, argue, offer stories, anecdotes, jokes as appropriate, and really dig in to the text. So here you have a pericope that covers the United States, and it's great. And it's back here, it's printed on blue paper. We sometimes send special messages to each other, which would have been wonderful to do here because the communicators would have sent you all a message. There are 4,000 meetings right now on ECUNET. Approximately 2,700 of those are active. I don't know about LCMS because I'm not acquainted with that, but for the ELCA, we have 1,200 or more individual people who have their own mailboxes. And I brought a directory of those people current through the middle of August, for those of you who might want to look at that. I've also brought a sample list of the many meetings that you can tune into. ECUNET stands for Ecumenical Network, which is headquartered in the basement of a church in Georgia, I believe. LutherLink is the network we use in the ELCA, and Convene is the software that we use. I brought some of that software with me, and I will give it to you if you want to begin this wonderful adventure on cyberspace. I was at the ELCA churchwide assembly this year, and I was part of the team demonstrating electronic mail and the different things that you can do with it. We have a conservative estimate of tutoring 300 people and handing out 300 copies of the software. And we know for a fact that at least 300 additional people took brochures. So we have all those new folks coming online. What surprised me, though, was how many other people, current users of the network, came to our computers wanting to pull up, as the saying is, their mail. And then there was a man who kept coming back time and time again just to read our synopsis of the business meetings that had just happened. He'd been in the meetings, but he wanted to see as well as hear what had just happened. Clergy now have a way to communicate with each other, to stay in touch, to stay in tune, even though they may be the only ordained person in town and not another one for hundreds of miles, which is often the case in Alaska. You can send a message to one person, or to a dozen people, to one meeting or to a dozen meetings. You can send a private message that nobody else can see, or you can send a public message to be read by all. Do you need help with confirmation? Ask online. Do you have need for a book published in 1906? Ask online. You need some fresh jokes for a banquet that you're going to do next week? Join EcuLaugh. Right now, a pastor in Arizona and a pastor in Alaska have established a wonderful, collegial, supportive relationship through the network. Staffs and synods and districts are tuned into each other. In the Pacific Northwest right now, a pastor who is ministering in Norway, who is from the area, is staying in touch with his colleagues through internet. Communication in the now, from the communicators of the now to the people of now. And I invite you to begin your day with communication with God, to communicate with your people by being with them, learning to know them, and understanding, not necessarily speaking, but understanding their language. And I invite you to tune into cyberspace. I want to show you some of the things that I've brought with me. For those of you who might be interested in the recent ELCA churchwide assembly, I just picked up things as I walked along and was given things, and I brought those with me. One of these, and they're up here. There's worship programs, there's initial ballot votes, there is a listing of all the people who were elected to all of the positions that were open. So if you want to know if a particular person was elected to a particular committee, it's here. I brought that. I also brought with me some demographic examples. You can contact the ELCA Office for Research and Development, give them your zip code, and they will send you sheets of demographic information about your area. So I brought three examples of that so you could look at that. I brought a sheet that we had on the night that Bishop Chilstrom and his wife at least the bishop was roundly roasted, and that was fun, and this has some of that on that. I brought a festival guidebook for those of you who might have been interested in the festival that happened. In the back, in case some of you aren't familiar with some of the books that I use in my devotions, I brought those up here. This is the book by Father O'Malley, Daily Prayers for Busy People. It's an excellent devotional book. Lord of Song is the book written by Pastor Ronald Allen, who is a Baptist pastor. And some of the others I'm sure you'll know. This back here on this table is the sheet of the gospel study for this week, this past week. You can just, as an example, to see what kind of information is available to you. This on the pink sheet is Ministry in Alaska, which is a meeting that we have going and that we keep in touch with our clergy and our congregations with. A prayer request requires just one typing on my part and is immediately sent out to all of the people. Our pastors are keeping in touch with each other. Our congregations are keeping in touch with each other through Ministry in Alaska. The surprising thing is that we have Lutherans. This was started by our Lutheran pastor in Sitka. We now have Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Moravians on Ministry in Alaska. Wonderful discussions. Wonderful sharing of prayer requests. We had a tragedy, absolute tragedy, in one of our Episcopal congregations where the pastor, woman pastor, was brutally raped and left. And that immediately went out on the network and all kinds of help, such as we could possibly give. And what can you give in a situation like that? But we immediately became known and offers our prayer support, our help in getting this woman medevaced into Anchorage. She was out in an outer village. And that kind of immediate help sometimes becomes available through things like Ministry in Alaska. I brought also a printout from a meeting called Synod Staff Meeting Online, which is the 65 synods of the ELCA. I'm sorry I don't know more about LCMS. I wish I had more that I could tell you about that. But synod staffs are working. This is a private meeting for the staffs of synods, and therefore we can do candidacy work. Private meeting being that you are invited to join and only for the protecting of people who may want to move and don't want that known yet. So that's kind of a private meeting for Synod staffs. Most meetings are wide open. I also brought with me prayer calendars as another type of communication. I have the prayer calendar from the Oregon Synod, from the Eastern Washington Idaho Synod, and from the Alaska Synod. They're back here. You're please take these things. Also examples of many other meetings that are taking place right now. Information on the Virgin Islands is back there. How you can help, what happened. We also had, in Alaska this week, we had the Typhoon Oscar slapped us with his tail. And consequently, the town of Seward was badly damaged. Our ski resort of Girdwood was damaged, and some areas around Anchorage were also damaged. Okay, let's communicate. Any questions? It is 11:30. I think we're supposed to be done.
Yeah, I know. Boots. I know from the ELCA that demographic information by zip code is also available from Region 1.
Good, okay.
If you can just ask for Paulette.
Ask for Paulette in Region 1.
The dish should be in each one of your Synod offices, too.
But some of us are not in Synod offices and don't know that.
It's also on the World Wide Web.
And we are on the World Wide Web? You know what the World Wide Web is? World Wide Web is an internet thing where you could get pictures and information. We now have about 15 ELCA congregations that have their own page on the web, and you can talk. Yeah.
I'm just curious. I'm a big fan of Sherlock Holmes, and there was one point where Dr. Watson was astounded because Sherlock Holmes didn't have the foggiest idea of where Peru was. And Holmes said that if it didn't have anything to do with crime, he wasn't interested because he had only so many brain cells. Well, I only have so many brain cells, and there's a point where the information that starts to come in stops being communication and starts being a glut.
Right.
How do you filter it?
You look at it maybe for a week or something, and you say, hey, I don't want any part of this. And you unjoin the meeting, and it will never come to you again. I am joined to about 12 of these 2,700 meetings. You choose which meeting you choose to join, want to join, be a part of. And some I had to opt out of a meeting called Used Books because there were so many wonderful things. Somebody offered the whole complete collection of Luther's works. And before the computer was even cold, there were a million, trillion people that wanted to buy those books. But I had to opt out of that. I don't have time for that. There, no matter what subject you are interested in right now on EcuNet, EcuNet is a wonderful network because we do have some ethics that are involved in using the network. You cannot use bad language. You cannot diss anybody. You're not allowed to. You can have some really spirited discussions, but you are not allowed to be nasty or cruel, or you are asked to leave the network.
We just determined that Frangos are from Seattle and not from Chicago. You saw that spirited discussion.
Okay.
Table talk.
Table talk is, of course, taken after Martin Luther, and let me tell you, if you really feel like you want to get into it, tune into Table Talk, and when you can't take it anymore, get off. Because that is a discussion on anything that happens to come up. Yes, sir. I remember you.
Yeah. Ex-Alaskan, but always an Alaskan.
Good.
Is EcuNet similar to the online services like CompuServe?
Right.
And so if you join EcuNet, you wouldn't need to be on one of the others. Because of
EcuNet does have its limits, but you can access internet through EcuNet. And through internet, you can get just about anywhere.
But I think you have to subscribe, have an internet server, don't you, also?
No. If you know the address, the internet address you want to communicate with, you can access that through EcuNet. If you want the whole ball of string regarding
internet, then you might want to choose that. The thing with internet is everything you do on internet is online. You are paying phone time. On Ecunet, particularly Convene, the software that we use, you are online just to download your messages or to send them. All reading and writing is done when you are offline. The longest time that I'm ever online is about 12 seconds. And that's both to send and receive. And I get quite a few bytes and bits every day. So all your writing, all your reading is done offline. Very ecumenical.
Is Convene a prerequisite, or?
It is not, but it sure is a lot easier to use it. It's right here.
Mm-hmm. Is that accessible for a Mac?
If you want the Mac, talk to me. Mac is at the moment being field tested and debugged. This is DOS.
There is a beta version for Mac.
It's I have.
I have it too.
The new one is coming out and it's much better. Please come and look at all these things if you want to from churchwide. I don't want to take those things home. Please take them. Thank you for coming.